So, can you tell me your name, please?
Okay, my name's Steve Johnson.
And where were you born, Steve?
I was born and bred in Southport.
And your date of birth?
It's the 16th of March, 1964.
What did your parents do for a living?
My father did various different jobs, from working building motorways to later on in life working at building supplies offices. My mum was just a full-time mum, really. She just brought us up. She didn't really work at all.
Okay. And whereabouts did you go to school?
I went to school in Southport. I went to junior school at All Saints Primary School, and I went to senior school at Mealscroft High School.
Okay. How long have you worked at Everton Football Club?
I've worked in the Everton Foundation for approximately 9 years now. My role is the disability manager for the Everton Foundation.
Well, you said 9 years. Did you work for the club before that? You joined the foundation?
I didn't work for the club. Well, it used to be Everton in the community, but I used to play for one of the disabled teams. That was probably, I first started playing probably about 10, 11 years ago.
Okay. With them. So your official title is?
Disability Manager for the Everton Foundation.
So just an outline of what your roles and responsibilities is as the Disability Manager.
Okay. The disability project we have at the foundation, we have a series of a number of different projects where we involve the local community in Everton Football Club. The disability programme has probably been Everton in the community have worked with disabled people for probably about 15 years. But it really took off really when One-to-One sponsored Everton. Which was probably about 1999. They ran a program called the Ability Counts program, which was to try and get disabled people involved in local football clubs. Now they sponsored Everton, but they also sponsored a national program with the English Federation of Disability Sports to deliver football opportunities for disabled people. And I was fortunate at that time to finish university, and I got a job with the national program, rolling out that program, and my role was to come to clubs like Everton and try and get the community coaches to deliver coaching sessions for disabled people, which was a really successful program. And then I joined the program here at Everton probably 3 years later, and the program has developed hugely since then. It's really about giving disabled people the same opportunities as non-disabled people. Mm. There was some research done by Sport England in 2000-2001 that showed there was a huge imbalance of opportunity for disabled people when compared to non-disabled people, both in school, in sport, in everyday life. So our programme is really about giving disabled people those opportunities, changing attitudes towards disabled people, and empowering disabled people to take an active part in everyday society, really. So our programme is absolutely massive, and it's the biggest programme in this country and probably the world as well, because we've got a couple of coaches over in China as well working with disabled people. The programme itself, it's got about four key elements to it. We have a huge skills programme where we go into over 50 schools each year working with disabled children. We go into mainstream schools as well, because a lot more disabled kids now are going into mainstream schools. But the teachers don't really know how to include them in PE sessions. So it's vital that we go in and deliver this part of our work, really. It's for some of the kids and disabled kids in the school, it's the only physical activity that they have all week. We work a lot on hand-eye coordination, movement skills, raising self-esteem, raising self-confidence, increasing teamwork and communication skills with the children. We've had really positive feedback from the children, from the teachers as well. Because the teachers struggle, how to include disabled kids, and they've got lots of ideas from us, and many of them have become volunteers on our programme, mm-hmm. you know, because they love it so much. We also now deliver 20 after-schools clubs for disabled children. This was another thing that was highlighted in the research by Sport England. It showed that, you know, there was no out-of-school sports provision for disabled children. You know, so over the last 12 to 18 months, we've worked really hard in promoting after-schools clubs for disabled kids across Merseyside. And at the moment, we've got 20 clubs set up, and we're looking to increase that to, you know, nearer 30 by next year. Again, it's giving disabled kids the same opportunities as non-disabled kids, the after-schools opportunities, all the you know, the benefits we talked about, teamwork, raising self-confidence, self-esteem. But from that, what we've also done, we've developed some competitive opportunities for disabled kids as well. So we've set up 4 powered wheelchair sessions, and we've set up a wheelchair league so they can compete against each other. And this is the first time it's ever happened in Merseyside. We've also done that with disabled girls as well. We've had a disabled girls team for a number of years, but we've had no one to play against. So what we've actually done is to set up disabled girls teams through the schools around Merseyside, and again we set up competitive opportunities for, you know, disabled girls, and we're the first in the country to do that as well. We also have 23 teams that represent Everton Football Club, disabled teams, you know, and that could be pan disability, which is different disabilities playing together but of a similar ability level, or it could be on a impairment specific you know, we could, like, for example, deaf teams or blind teams. So it's just blind teams playing against blind teams, or powered wheelchair teams playing against powered wheelchair teams. So we've got 23 teams. We have teams for every age group. We have teams for both genders, and we have teams for every disability. So it doesn't matter what disability any person may have, they can be included within our programme. You know, it's an absolutely massive programme. I say it's the biggest in the country. We've just recently been awarded the Charter Standard Award by the FA for development work. We are the first club in the country to receive this award, just specifically for, you know, creating opportunities for disabled teams. You know, so we're really proud of that. And another key area that we work in is we also give disabled people work opportunities, job placements, work placements for children in schools, or for adults as well. We also try and mentor disabled people through coaching qualifications. We'll give them experience as well, because the program's that massive that we you know, we try and give disabled people as much experience as possible. And it's not just around coaching, we could you know, do it in admin, IT, stuff like that. So there's various different ways that disabled people can get involved, and, you know, we can empower them to, you know, to, as you say, take an active part in everyday life, really.
So why is it so important, this inclusivity to Everton Football Club?
Mm. Well, I mean, David Moyes coined the phrase the people's club. You know, I think I really do feel that Everton, you know, do reach out to the local community and include the local community, you know, as much as possible, and try and support them with any issues they may have, kind of thing. You know, a lot of the programmes in the foundation do, you know, look at social issues within the local community and try to address those issues, really. You know, and we're probably more proactive than a lot of clubs, and we've got some, you know, some really strong projects that have won, you know, national awards as well. Our mental health program, it just recently received a national award for a sports award for, you know, being innovative, and that program is going to be rolled out throughout the Premier League, and that was actually based on the disability program, the development plan, and the problems we faced with the disability program. It was all eradicated when we came to the mental health program, because we'd already sorted those issues out, and it's, you know, the mental health program, similar to the disability program, it supports people, it helps, you know, to be a less of a burden on the National Health Service. you know, because people are being active, feeling good about themselves and getting involved and becoming more well. And, you know, as I say, it's less stress on the NHS, and Mercycare, who are one of our partners in that, are really pleased with, you know, the progress we've made on that and the difference it's made to the participants involved. And, you know, the actual cost that it's reduced on the health service has been absolutely huge. You know, so it's really good. But we've got lots of different projects like that, the social inclusion program, yeah, you know, women girls program, lots of different health programs. You know, we tend to follow the you know, government agendas as well with some of the projects we deliver. But the difference we make, the actual badge of Everton Football Club, you know, makes a huge difference. It opens a lot of doors. And people want to get involved with that and more likely to get involved with the programme and move on and you know change things in their lives for the better, really.
Excellent. So what about your typical day at Goodison? What would it entail? Do you spend most of your time here, or do you get out mostly? Or?
Yeah, I mean, my role has changed hugely since I first started. When I first started, I was doing a lot of hands-on coaching and you know, working in the local community. Now, because the programme's that big, I have, you know, three or four coaches that are working, you know, on the delivery side of it. And we also have, you know, between 10 and 15 volunteers that support the programme as well. That's just the disability programme to deliver that each week. So I'm more of a facilitator and coordinator, really. So, you know, just strategic direction and, you know, how we're going to deliver that. And I write a lot of funding bids as well to support the programme. You know, because there's a constant need for funding to keep the programme going. Mm. You know, so I do a lot of that and a lot of the monitoring and evaluation as well. You know, so the vast majority of my time is behind a computer or answering phones, you know, inquiries and directing people, really.
Over the when you're here at Goodison, do you get to know the players at all?
But sometimes, yeah. I mean, we're based at Goodison here, but I mean, the players at Finch Farm, so we don't get to see a lot of them. But within some of the projects we deliver, you know, some of the players do come along, you know, to support the programmes and you know, get involved and help out, kind of thing, really. And some of them have been really supportive. I mean, Phil Neville, for instance, he's been really supportive of the disability programme. He has a disabled daughter himself, so he knows the issues that are involved in that, and he thinks it's an absolutely fantastic programme, which it is.
So you talk about a couple of players getting involved. Do you see a difference between a big increase in foreign players coming into the country? Is there a difference with the attitude towards the programme?
I think once they understand it, I think their attitudes are very similar, really, to be fair. You know, because I mean you could say because local lads have got more of interest because it's local issues, but I think most of them are quite responsive to the fact, you know, that once they understand the programme, what it's about, you know, they're really supportive of it, really.
Excellent. So, you know, when you go out with these players to the certain what you do out in the community, who are the characters amongst the players?
Well, Phil Neville's really good. You know, I mean, we did an awareness day at Finch Farm where we took various different disability groups along to show the diverse and the scope of the programme we deliver. And, you know, we had the blind football there and, you know, he wanted to have a go of it, but some of the communications said, well, we you can't do this. You know, David Moore, if you get injured or stuff like that, then, you know, they'll be all, you know, to play, kind of thing, you know. But he said, no, I'm going to do it, I'm going to give it a go, kind of thing, you know. So he gave it a go and he was great, and you know, he wasn't embarrassed or anything when he was, you know, missing the ball and stuff like that, because you know, he was great about it, to be fair, kind of thing, and just, you know, made a laughing joke about it, really. Mm. You know, But he was great with the kids as well. You know, the way he interacted with the kids, he was absolutely fantastic. You know, and I think so, obviously because you know, he's got a disabled child himself.
I went to an event with Leon Osborne. He seems to be a bit of a character, and it gets with him being a local, having come through the system, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, I've not really seen Leon, our programs. I know he attended our mental health program, you know, and Rob spoke really highly of him, kind of thing, you know. So, yeah. I think most of them are really interested, you know, in what we do and what we deliver, really, you know. All the players. I mean, when we were at Finch Farm. Other players that weren't involved in the you know, the actual day were coming in and looking and asking about it as well, you know, so that was really positive, you know.
Excellent. What's your relationship like between the chairman, the manager and the players during the time you've been here?
I mean, different managers have different philosophies, really, you know, around it, but I mean, I think on the whole, you know, people are really supportive of what we do. You want to understand what we do, because I think in the past, you know, there maybe have been miscommunication, or they don't really understand what, you know, what the footballing community do, really, you know. So I think now it's a lot more clear about, you know, our way forward, what we do, all the different projects we're involved in, you know, and as I say, they understand that, and they're really pleased that, you know, that we are involved in our local community and doing so much work with them, really, you know. So it's been, you know, pretty good, really. I wouldn't say it's been negative.
Well, I suppose when you get the accolades, the chairman and the manager are aware of it, so they probably support it a lot more. And
very much so. I mean, you know, any news, you know, good news about what we do is always good for the club, really, you know. It's you know, the people's club, the philosophy of that, you know, it's absolutely fantastic, and we really do you know, reach out to that local community and do lots of really fantastic work, and I think they're really proud of what we do, the managers and the players, you know, they really are. I'm Bill Kenwright, you know. I mean, last year, you know, at the cup final, we went to the do in the evening, and the players were there, and you know, I don't really like to go over and bother the players because, you know, it's their time and what have you. But Phil Neville came over to me, chatting to me, said, "Steve, really appreciate what you do on the disability program. It's absolutely fantastic," kind of thing, you know, and it's great. And Jack Rodwell, I actually played football with his father, and his father was there. I've not seen him since I played football with him, and he came over chatting to me, and he brought Jack over and you know, one or two of the other players over, and they were really interested in the programme and what we did and what have you, you know. So that's really great, and it's great that you just take time out to you know, to recognise what you do. And recently at the Player of the Year Awards, we went to the after party, and Tim Cahill was there, and I took our disabled female player of the year to have a chat with him, and he was great with her, and he said, "All right, Steve," and I didn't even know he knew my name, kind of thing, you know. So it's good that they do know people around the club and what we do, and you know, the types of programs we're involved in.
I mean, you get this you know, highly paid and a little bit snooty in the cars, but that's not the case here, is it?
It doesn't seem to be at all. No, they seem to be genuinely interested in what we do and you know, the work we do, really, you know. So, you know, that's absolutely fantastic, really, because it's great for the participants as well, because, you know, they actually do feel part of the club, you know, and they're involved in the club, and that the club care about them, really.
Would you say it's a unique scheme that you've got the club?
I mean, most clubs have got a football in the community programme. But I mean, I've worked on other, well, at least one other football and community programme, and I would say that, yeah, the relationship is unique, and I think it's because of the actual projects we deliver that they're so good, you know, they really are good, and they really do make a difference to the local community, you know. So I think that's really important as well.
So, what about your highs and lows since you've been at Goodison?
Well, as a fan or as a working in?
At both, I suppose. Well, first of all, as your job, as such, you know, what's your highs and lows? Is it?
My highs is seeing people develop. You know, disabled people develop. You know, we've got lots of examples where, you know, we've worked with disabled people as players, as participants, and they've gone on to, you know, do volunteering work and then they've taken some qualifications, then they've, you know, got some casual work, and then gone on to get paid work, either with ourselves and others. So actually seeing people develop and actually change their lives is really rewarding for me, really. You know, there's one lad, Ian Kaufman, he hadn't worked since he left school. He has cerebral palsy, and the doctor said, well, you shouldn't work, kind of thing, really. But he wanted to work. He had a family, two young children, but he was told he couldn't work and he shouldn't work. You know, but we supported him to take his coaching qualifications, through giving job experience, and now he's got a full-time role doing a multi-skills job in local schools, you know, working with disabled children. And he's a great role model, you know, disabled person actually going into the special schools and showing people, you know, I can do this kind of thing, you know. And he said to me, you know, I want to do this for my family. And he said, I don't want my kids growing up thinking that, you know, we have to depend on benefits and stuff like that. I want to support them. You know, I want my own home kind of thing. You know, so he just had the same aspirations as everybody else. But he just didn't have the confidence to do that, or, you know, the experience to do it as well. And, you know, his self-esteem, self-confidence is quite low. You know, so we've helped improve that and empower him to, you know, to take, you know, a more active part in everyday society. And that's just one example. We've got loads of examples like that. You know, so I say my greatest thing is seeing people develop, and not just as footballers, but in other aspects of their life as well. You know, we've got loads of examples where, you know, some of our players have gone on to play in international football, you know, with England or Great Britain. You know, so, and that's absolutely fantastic. You know, it's great for them and myself. I mean, I became disabled when I was 21, and that was a turning point in my life. But it was a really positive thing for me, because I've been all over the world playing football, playing volleyball. I've been to two Paralympics. You know, won three World Cup winners' medals. You know, I've been Player of the Year and what have you. And it's all fantastic. You know, when I left school, I wanted to be a footballer. I wanted to play for Everton. You know, and I don't think I'm quite old now, but the scouting systems weren't as good then, kind of thing, you know. But then when I lost my leg, I thought, well, you know, through playing football, I'm never going to play football, you know, again, kind of thing, you know. And to be able to do that and to represent my country and be so successful, it's absolutely fantastic, you know. But the icing on the cake is, you know, I've got a job here at Everton now, doing a job that I really love, you know, working with people that really appreciate what you're trying to do for them, you know. And you know, it doesn't seem like work at times, you know, because you enjoy it so much, kind of thing, you know.
So hard work.
well it is hard work, but it doesn't seem like hard work because you really do enjoy what you're doing. Mm. You know, it's really rewarding, you know, what you're trying to do, really, for you know, the disabled kids and adults, really, you know. So
you keep using this phrase, making a difference, and that's what Everton's about, isn't it?
Very much so, yeah, hugely. And you know, we underestimate sometimes how powerful the badge is, you know, of Everton Football Club, because it is really powerful. And you know, whenever you go into schools, the kids are like, you know, awe and struck, like, kind of thing. If you going in and being from Everton and being, you know, part of the football club and actually going into their school and working with them, really, you know, and really caring and trying to change, you know, things for them, really, you know. So yeah, it is really important. And you know, all the projects we deliver, we, you know, they all try and make a difference in different ways, really, you know. But it's really important that, you know, because, you know, we keep talking about the ethos of the People's Club, and and Everton really do epitomise that, you know. It's absolutely fantastic, the work that we do in the local community.
You haven't said any lows yet.
Lows? I mean, sometimes it's been challenging, but it's just it's about getting around those challenges, really. You know, same with disabled people. I mean, they face a lot of barriers in their life to get on and do things, you know. So it's just about removing those barriers. So, I mean, I wouldn't say there's any lows. I mean, how can you say a low working, you know, for the club that you love, kind of? You know, you can't really say that's a low, kind of thing. You know.
Does it make your job easier that you're an Everton fan?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, without a doubt, you know, because you want to do better for your club. You want your club to be the best, you know, and that's what we are, really, you know. I had I had a job interview at Liverpool Football Club to go there and work there. I was unemployed at the time, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't go for the interview. I probably would have got the job because I was more than qualified, but I just couldn't do it because I couldn't bear the thought of wearing, you know, the red shirt and that crest kind of thing, you know. So I stayed in unemployed rather than actually go for the interview. Even my wife doesn't know that. But, you know, and that's, you know, I think once you're an Everton fan, that's it, you're an Everton fan, you know, and you can't change for anything really, even in work really, you know. So, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic being an Everton fan.
You know, you're talking about pride about working for Everton when you go into the schools and the other, you wouldn't have the same if you were a Liverpool fan.
If I had a Liverpool shirt on and going into school, no, I wouldn't have the same enthusiasm as them, I don't think at all. No, not at all to deliver what I was trying to deliver. You know, but I mean, I'd be professional, but I mean, it wouldn't be the same, not at all. No.
So you've been 9 years here. What changes have you seen in those 9 years? Quite a few.
Yeah, even in the foundation, we've had four. I've had five different bosses. Okay, so we seem to be more stable now, but it's changed from the actual culture has changed within the foundation. It used to be evident in the community. You know, when I first arrived, I was used to, like, you know, working on a computer and preparing for things like that. It wasn't like that really. It was a case of, like, there's your bag of balls and cones, go out into the schools and just, you know, don't come into the office kind of thing, you know. So the actual culture's changed, the projects have changed, we're more focused now in what we're trying to deliver, really. You know, we do a lot of work around monitoring and evaluation, you know, to, you know, keep the funding going and stuff like that, and to make sure that we're doing a really good job. You know, that's changed a lot as well. So there's a lot more work on the computer to do. You know, it's become a lot more professional than it used to be. You know, so those are probably the biggest changes.
So when you're saying that about you have to give feedback as to what you achieve and then stats and that, and that's where the big changes have come in?
Yeah, monitoring and evaluation is a huge part of our work, because obviously you think you're doing a good job, you know, but then when you're getting feedback from teachers, from participants and stuff like that, there's some things that might make you think, well, I'll change that a little bit next time, you know, to make it better, you know, because I mean, I'm not perfect, kind of thing, you know. So you constantly need feedback to make sure you are doing a good job. But we also have to give, you know, stats about, you know, how many people we're engaging with, the different diversity of the people we're engaging with as well. You know, so that's quite important as well. One thing we've recently done is, because disabled people, sometimes it can be difficult getting feedback from them to, you know, filling questionnaires and stuff like that. We've done some video evidence of it, and that's been absolutely fantastic. It's the way forward, really, because it really brings the programme to life, because actually seeing the participants and the joy that they get from, you know, being involved in it and the some of the stuff they come out with is quite entertaining. Like, yeah.
What about the relationship between the fans and the clubs over the last 9 years? Do you feel it as a change, or...?
I think there's always been Everton fans have always been loyal, and they've always been strong with the club kind of thing, you know. So I think there's always that affinity there, you know. They've always been loyal to the club and always been interested in, you know, what we're doing kind of thing, really. You know, I mean, we put a lot of stuff on the website and the programmes and stuff like that, and on a match day we have a lot of presentations about each of the different projects and you know, what we're doing, and we do get quite a number of inquiries from people, you know, who might have a disabled person or the disabled themselves who want to get involved in the programme and, you know, haven't heard the programme before, you know. So, you know, it's really good, really.
Are they mainly Everton supporters, I take it?
Yeah, but I mean, surprisingly, we've got quite a lot of Liverpool supporters on our programme as well. You know, I mean, we'll take anyone. but like, no, we'll work with anyone. But, you know, and that's, I think a lot of that's to do with the size of our programme, really, and the scope of it, you know, because maybe the other side aren't as proactive.
The dark side,
yeah.
And what about this idea of Liverpool and Everton sharing the ground? What's your views on that?
I mean, I love this ground. It's absolutely fantastic. You know, on a you know, on a midweek game at night time under floodlights, it's absolutely fantastic here, and it's great. I love it. I mean, I came to the Bayern Munich game in the semi-final, and that's the best atmosphere I've ever experienced in my life, really. You know, it was just absolutely jumping. You know, it's great. I'll never forget that rest of my life. But, you know, with the way things are going, we need a new ground, you know, to get more revenue to, you know, support the team and you know, obviously fund the players and get more players and better players, really. You know, so I think we do need to move. It's a pity about Kirby, you know, not getting the permission. But, I mean, I don't mind the ground sharing if, you know, if it means that we can go forward, you know, the club can go forward and be more successful. You know, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
And you wouldn't mind sitting in a seat where Liverpool supporters been in the week before?
No, well, I'd bring some wipes just to wipe it off. No, I'm joking. But no, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. As long as it's not red and white, then that'd be great.
Have you worked for any other club? Or is it just been Everton? And if you have worked for another club, what's the difference?
I worked for Tranmere Rovers Football and Community many, many years ago, and they're a lot smaller club, obviously, than Everton. They had a smaller community programme than Everton, and it was a little bit, well, not unprofessional, but it was just like a one-man band kind of thing, really, and it was quite ad hoc. I'm saying that. I mean, we're going back 20 years, and Everton's programme was probably similar to that, really, in the way it was delivered, you know, and there wasn't really focused programmes. And Everton and Tranmere are probably similar at that stage, where they just went out and worked in the local schools with no really direction, really, about what they were trying to achieve, you know. The Tranmere one, again, it's still on. I mean, one of our employees who used to work on the disability programme works for Tranmere now, and again, it's still a lot smaller than Everton, and you know, they really do need to, you know, probably focus a little bit more on direction to go, really, you know. So probably that's not changed that much, to be fair.
No, so the difference is obviously the money that
The money, yeah. I mean, Everton can attract a lot more funding because we're in the Premier League. You know, the actual disability programme, we managed to get £420,000 from the Premier League and commercial sponsors to deliver the programme over 3 years. Tranmere probably wouldn't have access to that. Well, they don't have access to that funding because they're not in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is a huge difference there, because, you know, they, you know, we can apply for funding pots that they can't, huge funding pots, really, that, you know, we can deliver, you know, bigger programmes, you know, so there's probably is a disadvantage there for, you know, the league clubs.
So going on to that, the money side of things, do you think football's become too commercial, and how has it affected Everton?
I think that's the way everything's going now, really, to be fair. I wouldn't say it was great. I mean, you only have to look at Portsmouth, what trouble they got themselves in, you know. And, you know, the club's got to be managed really well to ensure that we don't end up like Portsmouth, really. You know, because no one wants to see that, you know. I really feel for the Portsmouth fans, but, you know, it's mismanagement in the club kind of thing, really. So, and I wouldn't like to see that at Everton, you know. But I think it's well run at the moment with, you know, David Moyes, Rob Elstone and Bill. You know, they've not, you know, let their finances run out of hand kind of thing, you know. So it's difficult trying to get that balance between, you know, competing with the top teams and you know, not going into, you know, too much debt, really, you know. So it's a difficult balance, but I wouldn't not want to see Everton, you know, go the way of someone like Portsmouth, really.
I was talking about the you've been in 9 years, and probably just after Sky came into the advent, to the money that they brought in, would you say that's made a big difference?
Hugely, yeah. I mean, commercially for Everton, obviously they get a lot of money from that, you know, to buy players and that. I mean, the downside is that the you know, traditionally you used to play at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, and now they're playing Sundays, Mondays, you know, Fridays, or every other day kind of thing, you know. And sometimes it, you know, it can be saturated, really, you know, too much football, really. I mean, I prefer, you know, the Saturdays, Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs kind of thing, you know. But if they're paying that much money, you've got to realise that, you know, you've got to make some sacrifices, and you know, when they want to put a match on, you really got to fall in line, really, you know, if you want that money to, you know, to take it forward. But I think Sky have done a great job with, you know, the way they present the football. I think it's absolutely fantastic. It's really good, you know. So they put a lot of time and money into that. So, you know, it's only fair, really, that they have, you know, choice of when the games are played, really. You know, but as I say, I'm a traditionalist, really, and I like to see it at 3 o'clock or the midweek games. I enjoy them as well, really, you know, on the floodlights, you know.
Does this constant football disrupt your ability to do your job? Or?
Not really, because, I mean, our job, it's, you know, it's 7 days a week, really. You know, we go into the schools in the daytime, we go after schools, clubs, then in the evening the teams are playing, and then weekends they could be playing fixtures, you know, so... No, it doesn't affect us too much, you know, we just try and arrange the fixtures so they don't clash with the Everton games, really, you know, so we can watch the game.
So do you attend all the Everton matches?
I go to all the home games, yeah, definitely, and two away games as well. I bought a season ticket for my son this year as well, you know, it's the first time he'll have a season ticket, so, yeah, I mean, I go as much as I can, but it, you know, it is quite expensive now to, especially going away, stuff like that, you know, it's quite dear to, you know, to for a ticket, for your transport, for, you know, food and drink on the day kind of thing. It is quite expensive now, you know, so I probably pick and choose my games now to go away from home, you know, but whereas when I was younger, I used to, you know, go to most of the home and away games. But, I mean, I've got a family now and a house to pay for, you know, so there's other priorities as well, really.
And what does your lad think about you working for Everton Football Club?
I think, well, he's only 8 at the moment, so I don't think he really appreciates what it's all about, really. You know, he's just learning about Everton and the tradition and stuff like that and football. But he enjoys coming to the game. I've brought some of his friends along as well, even though they're Liverpool fans, and they've enjoyed the game. But it's just great that you know, these kids can sample that, you know, the atmosphere, going to a game. You know, I probably didn't go to a game till I was probably 13, 14, where he's getting that much younger kind of thing, you know, which is great, really. I took him to Wembley last year for the semi-final and the final, which he, you know, he really enjoyed. It was fantastic. And that, you know, and he's, you know, he's just started playing football now as well, so he's getting inducted into the Everton way, really.
Is there anything else you want to add, Steve, before we conclude the interview? Is there anything that... like to say about your time at Everton?
I mean, I've been an Everton fan all my life, kind of thing, really. Even though my dad was a Liverpool supporter, you know, just probably peer pressure was probably at school, you know, made me support Everton, really. But I mean, I started watching Everton in the 70s, and people like Mick Lyons and Bob Latchford were my heroes, kind of thing, you know. And well, Mick Lyons was my favourite, you know. I always wore the number 4 shirt when I played for England or Everton, kind of thing, you know. He's my hero, and just really because, you know, he said he'd cut his veins, blue blood had come out, and that's really my attitude towards, you know, Everton Football Club, and love for Everton Football Club, really, you know. And I've been fortunate that we've had some good times in the 80s as well, and hopefully those times will come back soon.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you.